weeks ago talking about this particular question: how well do you know God? And for some people, the question really is, do you even know God? Okay? For a lot of people out there in the world today, they know, yes, something here, but they don't have a whole lot of knowledge about God at all. And for a lot of people know a lot about God, but unfortunately, there's a lot of folks who know a lot of stuff about God that just isn't right. It's not so. And they'll say things like, well, the Bible says this, or the Bible says that, and the Bible doesn't say that at all. Or they'll say, my God does this, or my God does that, and so forth. God don't do that at all. So people know a lot about God, but what we're focusing on in this series of lessons is getting to know God in a very personal way. Okay? Not just knowing about Him, not just having information about Him, but knowing God. Okay? A personal relationship with Him. And the challenge in this series of lessons is not even just simply having a personal relationship with God. We talk about that all the time. But the challenge here is for us to up our game, so to speak, to change and grow the level of our relationship with God. And we do that, I think, best by some interacting with God in some very specific, very valuable ways. Okay? That interaction, I think, is what's going to help us all to raise our level of our relationship. Okay? Again, this is not about just information. This is about experience in a relationship with God. Talked about these seven different areas of interaction that we really need to focus on and that helps us to increase or raise that level of our relationship with God. We've talked about grace, okay? We have talked about justice. We have talked about accepting God's discipline. This morning, we're going to talk about returning God's love. We're going to talk about His sovereignty. We're going to talk about prayer, and finally, we'll conclude this series of lessons in looking at victory. So this morning, what I want you to be thinking about, and we talked about in our Bible class earlier this morning, okay, what about all this information that we're getting, and we're talking about these things to help us in our relationship with God, but there's a whole bunch of folks out there in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria that need a relationship with God. And so this is helping to change someone's life by telling them about Jesus and sharing Him and helping people not just again to have information, but help them to interact with Jesus in these same ways, those folks in your Jerusalem, your Judea, and your Samaria. What are you doing to help them in these interactions with Jesus in these particular ways? So this morning, let's talk about returning His love. Okay? Y'all are familiar with this particular saying, right? Help me out here. The proof is in the pudding. Okay? Now, that's how we normally say it, right? But the actual quote is this: the proof of the pudding is in the eating. By a small sample, we may judge of the whole piece. Okay? We're talking about the proof of something. All right? Well, that takes us to the idea of evidence, right? Evidence, we gather evidence about something that we're looking at. The evidence leads to proof, right? And the proof that we have then leads to conviction. So we have to look at the evidence that then points us to the proof of whatever it is, even the pudding, okay? And then we're talking about the conviction that is there. Without proof, there is no conviction. All right? Now, let's talk about this word conviction for a moment, because it has two basic meanings or uses. First of all, a conviction can be the act of or the process of finding a person guilty of a crime. We say they have been convicted of a particular crime. They're guilty. We talked about that earlier when we were studying grace, right? And we are all guilty of sin, and we deserve to be convicted, right? Right? There's plenty of proof of that. Right? But what we're discussing this morning is a different kind of conviction. All right? And that is a strong persuasion or belief, or the state of being convinced. All right? A belief is what you hold, someone said, but a conviction is what holds you. Okay? To be convicted of God's love is what I want you to be thinking of this morning. Is that what holds you? All right? Proof of God's love for us. What more do we need than the cross of Calvary? In 1 John, in the text that Tom read for us as we began this morning, notice that John writes this for us. This, he says, is how God showed his love. Okay? In other words, God didn't just tell us that he loves us. He proved it. He showed us his love by doing what? Okay? He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. That's how God showed his love. He sent his Son here. This is love, he goes on to say. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So it's not only that God sent his Son here. God didn't just send him and say, okay, I want you to go down and talk to these people. Try to convince them that I love them. And maybe they'll start living the way that I want them to live. No, he didn't do that, did he? It was mentioned earlier, he sent his Son to die on the cross for us while we were still sinners. That's how he showed his love for us. Okay? John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world. How much did he love the world? That he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever would believe in him would not perish but have life everlasting. That's how much God loves us. That he gave his one and only Son. We talked about in the last lesson, accepting God's discipline, that God's discipline is more proof of his love. Remember what we said there. We looked at Hebrews 12 where he says, the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. He loves us, therefore he disciplines us. So when we're being disciplined by God, that is proof of how much he loves us, because he doesn't want us to be lost. In Revelation 3, verse 19, he says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. You see all this proof that God loves us. What do you see in the cross of Christ, in his crucifixion? The proof of God's love for a sinful man, not for man who has gotten their act together, but for sinful man. God sent his Son to die for us. So we need to act in such a manner that you are living proof of a loving God. That's one way in which we return God's love, is by our behavior, the way that we are living. Are we living proof of a God who loves us enough that he gave his Son for us to die? Are you acting in that kind of a way that when people see you, They see evidence. They see proof of a loving God. Let's talk a minute about the origin of love. Okay? We as human beings seem to be fascinated with the beginnings of things or the origins of things. And so there's a, you can study practically anything when it comes to the origin of it. You can go back and research and study. And so the origin of life in biology is you know, people looking to see where does life come from, okay? And Darwin, the origin of the species, where do all these different creatures come from? Where do they, what's their beginning and so forth? Now, we don't necessarily have to agree with the findings of these, but people, my point is, people are fascinated with the origin of things. How about words? That we seem to be fascinated by where words come from. And what's the meaning of this word? And where was it first used and so forth? So people study that. How about your country of origin? You know, this whole thing about, you know, DNA and finding out where you come from and where your ancestors are from, that's a huge thing right now, isn't it? Because people want to know, where did I come from? Where did my family begin? And so forth. So we're really interested in the beginning of things, the origin of stuff, and including the origin of love. Where does it come from? Well, the Bible, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, tells us where the origin of love is, okay? Where John says, "Dear friends, let us love one another." Why? Because love comes from God. What is the source of all love in the world? It's God, okay? That's where it comes from. It's not made in some factory somewhere. It wasn't put together by some family, you know, anywhere in the world. It comes from God. And notice that that word is in the present tense. Okay? So it continues to come from God. That's where it began, and that's where it continues to flow from. It comes from God. Everyone who loves, he says, has been born of God and knows God. Love comes from God. It has its origin in God. Notice this part. He goes on to say, whoever does not love does not know God. You cannot know God if you don't have love. Why? Because God is love. He is love. And that's a significant statement. Look at this part. He goes on to say, God is love. There it is again. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. God is love. His very essence, his very being is love. Okay? Here's the interesting thing about this. And this, if you don't remember anything else I talked about this morning, I want you to remember this. Okay? Since God is love, since he is the source, the origin of love, all love comes from him. The Bible says God is love. It doesn't say God has love, God gives love. It doesn't put it that way. That when God feels good, he loves you. When he doesn't feel good, he doesn't love you. It says God is love. Okay? And here's the thing I want you to remember. God cannot possibly love you any more or any less than he does right now. Now let that sink in for a moment. Okay? Again, he doesn't just give love when we're behaving ourselves and take it away when we're not. He doesn't just have love in a bucket somewhere that he just kind of dispenses here and there. He is love. And by his very nature and character, you cannot possibly do anything to make God love you any more or any less than he does right now. Because God's love is not like a light switch that he's constantly turning on and off as you mess up and as you ask for forgiveness. And it's like, I love him, I don't love him, I love him, I don't love him. It doesn't work that way. God is love. It is constant. It is never changing. So you cannot earn more love from God. You following me here? nor can you make God love you any less than He does. By His nature and His character, He is love. And He loves every single one of us. When I say us, I mean all of His creation. He loves us enough that He sent His Son to die for each and every one of us. And finally, I want to look at this part, a return on His investment. Okay? And ROI, return on investment, that's what that refers to, okay? And when it comes to a lot of different aspects in life, we like to have a return on our investment, don't we? You have money, you put it in the bank, you put it in a savings account, whatever, you put it in stocks, whatever. You're looking for a return on your investment, right? You put a little bit of money in, you want to get some more money back out. We do the same thing with different projects that we work on. We invest our time and our energy and our work in a particular project, and we want a return on that. Okay? How about exercise? Okay, yeah, we want a return on that investment, and I've got to be honest with you, that's the part that's just discouraging to me. I do all this exercise, and I don't get much return. Okay? Or maybe I should look at it as, I lose some weight, but it keeps returning. All right? That's not what I want to do. So I find just kind of doing some of that, and trying to lose weight and all that, I find it discouraging because I don't get much return on my investment. But that's what we're looking for. And then also, how about relationships? We invest ourselves in relationships with other people, with one another. And one of the aspects of that is a return on that investment. We share ourselves, we invest with somebody, and we want something back from them. And that's as it should be. You see? Because that's part of the thing that motivates us in those relationships. The return on our investment is our motivation to keep on investing. Okay? Everybody following me there? God has invested Himself in a relationship with each and every one of us. He has already invested Himself. He's already put down the deposit, okay? And that deposit being the blood of His one and only Son. As an investment in a relationship with each and every one of us, He wants a return on His investment. Okay? He wants and He expects a return on that investment. He loves us. He pours out His love to us. He has invested Himself and His Son in that relationship with us. But He wants something back from us. He wants a return on that investment. Okay? We've already looked at this particular passage where He says, this is how God showed us His love. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's His investment that He poured out to have a relationship with us. He wants a return. And so when asked by a person, what is of all the commandments that you've given, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. See, that's how we can return God's love. By loving Him with everything within us and by loving His creation. John goes on to say there in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. There it is again. Love comes from God. And everyone that loves, look at this, he says, is first of all born of God. Okay? We are born again. And that's what Jesus, by the way, talked to Nicodemus about, wasn't it? In John chapter 3. You must be born again. When we are born again, what we're doing is we're giving God a return on his investment. When he sent his son to die for us, and we accept the blood of his son on our behalf, we are being born again. So not only are we born again, though, but also notice that he says, and we know God. In other words, we are in a relationship with him. When we love God and one another. Dear friends, he says, since God so loved us, all right, we also ought to love one another. Right? In other words, here's God's investment. God invested his love in us, and he said, because of that, we need to be loving one another. And again, that's how we return God's love. No one, he says, has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us. And look at this last part. His love is made complete in us. So, us returning God's love to him, it's like a circle, a cycle, if you will. Okay? And it's giving God's love back to him as we love other people. And so we know, John says in verse 16, and we rely on the love God has for us. God, there it is again, is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence. I like this particular part, okay? We will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. Talk about a return on investment. Okay? God loves us and he wants us to love others like him. But the really great part about that is, what does that do in terms of us in eternal life? Well, again, here's that kind of like that cycle I mentioned a moment ago. Love comes from God to us and then to others and back to God. And it should in our lives just keep going round and around and around that way. Okay? And when we're living that way, we stand in judgment before God, we have confidence because we're standing in his love. You see, every single one of us is going to stand before God in judgment. The only real issue is, how are you going to be standing? Are you going to be standing in his love because you have been returning his love, or are you going to be standing in condemnation because you refuse to love? So it's all about our standing before God in judgment, how much confidence we can have in that standing when we are returning God's love. Okay? In verse 20, John goes on to say, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. How can you love a God that you've never seen when you can't even love one another? People that you see and interact with. That's John's point. Basically, what he's saying is, you can't do it. You've got to love people. And that's how we then demonstrate our love for God. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Yeah, he commands us to do that. So, in other words, it's not optional, I think is what we really need to take away from that, all right? Loving others is not an option for those who claim to love God. It's not possible to love God and hate your brother. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he must obey my commands. So we are then returning his love by doing what he tells us to do. That's the second way that we do it. We do it by loving others. We also do it by obeying what he tells us to do. See? And again, we sometimes people get hung up on this, oh, we have to, it's a command to love people. Yes. Yes. Are we willing to overcome the obstacles that we face in relationships all the time because we love someone, because that's what God has told us to do, or will we rather just allow the relationship to fizzle and fall apart and us to not love that person and sometimes even hate them because we're not willing to do what God tells us to do? You see? So here's the question. Will I return God's love? See, it's really easy to receive it, isn't it? And we like to be able to just sit back and have God just pour out his love on us every day and go, wow, this is wonderful. But the other side of that is returning it. We've got to give it back. Because God never intended to give us his love for us to just keep it to ourselves. We got to give it back. We give it back in two ways, as we've seen. We give it back by loving one another, and we give it back by obeying his commands, his teachings. So the challenge and the question this morning that I'm asking everyone to think about is, will I return God's love to him? Will you make a commitment, as this says here, I will return God's love. Wes has a song that he has chosen for us to use as an invitation song, and we're going to stand in just a moment and use that song as an opportunity for anyone who is here physically to come and let us know how we might be able to offer prayer or help in any way to help you with whatever it is that you need. For those who are online worshiping with us this morning, the same invitation is open to you. We have some text numbers on here that you can text either Dale or Wes while we're having this invitation song, and we will address your prayer requests as they come to us after we finish singing the song. So those of you who are with us online, live streaming, if you have a prayer need that we can address, then please just text either one of these phone numbers and we will address that prayer request. For those that are here this morning, if there's someone here who's maybe you're struggling in your relationship with Christ, maybe the whole issue of returning God's love has been a struggle for you. I don't know, but we're here to help you to return God's love in your relationship with him. And for those of you who are online with us, if there is someone out there who is not yet a Christian and you've come to the point in your life where you are ready to give your life to Christ, to be saved from your sins and be reunited with him in a relationship with Christ, you can do that. All you got to do is let us know that that's what you want to do. And again, you can text either one of those phone numbers that are on the screen. They'll be on there during the songs. And let us know that that's what your desire is. And we will do whatever is necessary as soon as possible to get with you and to have you baptized into Christ Jesus, if that's what your desire is and you're ready to make that commitment. All you got to do is let us know. Wes, come on up and lead us in song. Let's stand together and sing.